Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio. March 15th, 1965. Lyndon Johnson calls for voting rights after Selma. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History. This is our third episode on the great struggle for voting rights in recent weeks, beginning with Bloody Sunday on March 7th, continuing with LBJ's meeting with George Wallace on the 13th, and now March 15th, 1965. The president walked with purpose. On the evening of Monday, March 15th, 1965, Lyndon Johnson entered the chamber of the House of Representatives. He did not pause to shake many hands as he walked to the well. He had work to do. Standing at the rostrum with Vice President Hubert Humphrey and Speaker of the House John McCormick, the president opened a folder and began to speak words crafted for him that day by Richard Goodwin. Johnson seemed, for once for a public man, free from political calculation or pragmatic consideration. He said this: "At times, history and fate meet at a single time in a single place to shape a turning point in man's unending search for freedom. So it was at Lexington and Concord. So it was a century ago at Appomattox. So it was last week in Selma, Alabama. There, long-suffering men and women peacefully protested the denial of their rights as Americans. Many were brutally assaulted. But there is cause for hope and for faith in our democracy and what is happening here tonight. In our time, we have come to live with moments of great crisis. Our lives have been marked with debate about great issues, issues of war and peace, issues of prosperity and depression. But rarely in any time does an issue lay bare the secret heart of America itself. Rarely are we met with a challenge, not to our growth or abundance, our welfare or our security, but rather to the values and the purposes and the meaning of our beloved nation. The issue of equal rights for American Negroes is such an issue. And should we defeat every enemy, should we double our wealth and conquer the stars, and still be unequal to this issue, then we will have failed as a people and as a nation. For with a country as with a person, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Here, for the first time, the lawmakers and guests in the chamber were moved from reverie to applause. The evocation of Scripture, Johnson was quoting the words of Jesus from the Gospel of St. Mark, resonated. He continued, "There is no Negro problem. There is no Southern problem. There is no Northern problem. There is only an American problem. And we are met here tonight as Americans, not as Democrats or Republicans. We are met here as Americans to solve that problem. This was the first nation in the history of the world to be founded with a purpose. The great phrases of that purpose still sound in every American heart, North and South. All men are created equal. Government by consent of the governed. Give me liberty or give me death." Well, those are not just clever words, or those are not just empty theories. In their name, Americans have fought and died for two centuries. And tonight, around the world, they stand there as guardians of our liberty, risking their lives. Many of the issues of civil rights are very complex and most difficult. But about this, there can and should be no argument. Every American citizen must have an equal right to vote. There is no reason which can excuse the denial of that right. There is no duty which weighs more heavily on us than the duty we have to ensure that right. Yet the harsh fact is that in many places in this country, men and women are kept from voting simply because they are Negroes. The registrar is the sole judge of whether he passes a test. He may be asked to recite the entire Constitution or explain the most complex provisions of state law. And even a college degree cannot be used to prove that he can read and write. For the fact is that the only way to pass these barriers is to show a white skin. What happened in Selma is part of a far larger movement which reaches into every section and state of America. It is the effort of American Negroes to secure for themselves the full blessings of American life. Their cause must be our cause too, because it is not just Negroes, but really it is all of us who must overcome the crippling legacy of bigotry and injustice. And we shall overcome. On the night of the speech, afterward, King called Johnson, who was back in the White House. "It is ironic, Mr. President," King said, "that after a century, a Southern white president would help lead the way toward the salvation of the Negro." "Thank you, Reverend," Johnson replied. "You're the leader who is making it all possible. I'm just following along, trying to do what's right." Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C-13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge, Margot Gray, and Chris Basil. Production assistance by Andy Jaskowitz and Adam Macias. Cadence 13 is an Audacy company.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet, and I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Audacy in partnership with Puck, available on the free Audacy app or wherever you get your podcasts.